Previously on the show.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year, because we're going to say that because we're not going to be doing a show next week because of the holidays.
Yep.
You'll be with your family. I'll be doing stuff with, the wife.
The wife.
But no show next week. But this is the week that matters. This is the week. This is why we play the game.
Oh, God.
A championship weekend, everyone, in most fantasy football leagues. Are you in any championships?
Yes, I am in one.
One?
One out of three?
Yeah. That's not bad. I lost last week in my semifinals.
Bad?
30 points.
Okay, so here's the question.
Yes.
Do you feel bad if you could have won, if you would have played your lineup different? Or do you...
Well, I don't have to worry about that because I couldn't have won no matter
either
what.
Either way. No. Because I don't think I could have won either way if I changed my lineup around or made it perfect.
But there's that thought that's like, I screwed up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking that when Jameis Winston broke his hand and then went off for 460-some yards and I didn't have him in my lineup.
Right.
Oh, wait, no, that was the week before. I could have had him in my lineup, and I got scared because of the broken thumb.
Right, exactly. Well, I probably got in your head that week.
No, it was that or Drew Brees, which is part of the problem. If I would have had Jameis Winston and like Kyle Allen,
right,
it wouldn't have been a problem. But it wouldn't have mattered anyway. I would have lost either way.
So here's another question: do you ever feel defeated?
Always.
Say what?
I think it's amazing, Dave.
What?
If you won a parlay, that'd be the first thing you probably would have started the show.
I said we got great news coming up on the gambling.
Oh, okay.
I was gonna save it for the gambling.
Okay.
Because it's amazing.
It's amazing because I did that pick.
Yeah. Right before the show.
15 minutes before the show.
The same way you did the first week.
And how many hours?
I put in a lot of time on this.
On
my picks.
Okay.
A lot of time. A lot of research. And you come in here, and this is the part that pisses me off about this, because you did that the first week, too, with the college games, remember?
Oh, yeah, and I know nothing about
college.
You
know nothing about college, and you had a parlay win. But, yeah, that's coming up, Dan's big parlay win.
Yeah.
What did you say?
And this is the moment everybody's been waiting for. Actually, Dan's been waiting for this, because...
Hell, yeah.
It's gambling time. And the guy who came in last week with nothing prepared...
Nothing.
Sat down at paperwork... And just circled shit blindly.
Pretty much.
And what does that tell you? Sometimes the research doesn't pay off. And just go with your gut sometimes. If you would have used Dan's picks last week, college and pro, you would have been 9-2.
Wow.
And with that, you would have had a $475 win in the pro parlay. And for Dan's picks this year, he has an output. He has put out there $1,060 worth of bets, and he has taken home right now $1,405. So if you would have used Dan's picks this year, it's going to be a little higher than that because on the website right now, I have not updated it yet. You had another win from last night, so it's going to be a little higher than that.
Wasn't it another parlay?
No, you didn't win your other parlay yesterday because State lost.
I thought I picked Kent State.
No, you had Utah State. You had the same picks in college. The only one that we had different in college was you took Navy, I took Army.
And now, back to the show.
Welcome to the Cheddarhead Fantasy Football Podcast. All the information you need to make the most of your fantasy football league with just a touch of sarcasm to keep you from taking yourself too seriously. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this latest episode of the Cheddarhead Fantasy Football Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Oh, my God. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Hi. Oh, hello.
It's 2020.
Yes, Happy New Year.
Are you ready to light this candle?
Let's do it.
Here we go.
Welcome to the 2019 Cheddarhead Fantasy Football Podcast Award Show. Special guests will include, no one. However, you will learn who's won awards at their respective positions in fantasy football. You'll also hear from this year's winners in the Beat the Host contest and find out who's won this year's Fantasy Girl of the Year award. Thank you for joining us this evening. I'm your announcer, Jared Fader. And now, here are your hosts, Dan and Dave.
That's right, everybody. We're here. We are at the... where are we? We're at the Ramada Inn. Oh, shit. Sorry, people. Stop. Okay, thank you. We're at the Ramada Inn Airport Lounge, and the place is full. In fact, we had to have the fire marshals kick some people out.
Yeah. I felt bad.
You know, I have my... Well, you have your tuxedo on. You're wearing the camouflage tuxedo today.
That's right. Of course. I'm looking good.
And we have our drinks. I'm drinking Dr. Pepper. You got your Mountain Dew.
Well, until later, then I'm switching.
Well, later's coming up in just a little bit because, you know, this is the awards show, so we need to have our trophy girl.
I gotta be sober.
We have to have our trophy girl, so she's going to be here early. But I screwed up. She won't be here early enough. So in one of your costume changes, that you're going to be the Carrie Underwood of the show on the Country Music Awards.
Am I wearing what she was wearing? Or?
Well, not wearing what she was. You wouldn't look good in that, but, you know.
You don't know.
You have different outfits, and you'll be wearing those in between each award because, and I screwed up. I called in the Fantasy Girl of the Year too late into the schedule for today. So you're going to have to be off the mic when we make our phone calls to the winners.
Okay.
So you'll be in a dress standing by the awards.
I can do that.
By the prizes. Other than that, it's playoff times in football, you know.
The real football league.
Exactly. In the real football leagues, it's playoffs. And the Packers are in. Everybody is happy with that, right?
We're happy.
Excellent.
We're nervous, but we're happy.
Nervous, but happy. And then we got an extra special show for you today. We have all the awards. We got the top receiver, top running back, top quarterback, rookie of the year, MVP. We have our fantasy girl of the year.
Right.
You're not making any bets today, huh?
Nope. I'm not chasing anything today. I'm ahead.
You're
I'm good
still
to
ahead.
Go.
So we'll get to the bets because I have news on that also. And then we have just a couple news and notes things. So you want to just get started?
Yes, let's do it.
All right, we'll do the news and notes. Everybody, here we go with the news and notes. We start with this.
Okay.
Seahawks, they're continuing to work on more running backs right now since the whole Marshawn Lynch experiment didn't work out very well last week. What do you expect? He hasn't played in 14 months, right? So this time the Seahawks are bringing in free agents. Tell me if you know any of these guys. The first one, a couple of them. Alex Collins.
Yep. Former
Raven.
Baltimore Raven.
Rock Thomas.
Ooh, no.
Apparently he was a Jaguar. And C.J. Anderson.
Well, that should be a no-brainer.
So, I don't know how many running backs they're going to have that can't do anything, but they only need him for one game.
Oh, yeah.
And good. Well, I have him winning that game, actually. So.
Do you really?
They'll need him for two games.
He
scared you?
This is why I didn't bet, because
I'm really scared.
There's no predictable outcome on any of them.
Yeah, I hear you with that, but you have to kind of make some kind of a.
Well, you're losing money. See, I'm not losing money, so
I'm close to breaking even. In fact, this week,
no,
I'm kind of close. Kind of close to breaking.
Okay, we'll give it to you.
I need LSU to win.
That would really
LSU
help you.
LSU wins, that's, what was that, 50-1?
Yeah. How the heck?
Well, that was beginning of the season, because I told you I have I have LSU in one of my Las Vegas bets, an actual money bet, not this fun stuff. And if LSU wins on that $5, I get $250.
So that was...
That's, what is that?
$250, that's the...
It's
50.
That's 50-1. Yeah. So I got that ticket. So it was. They must not have been expecting much from Joe Burrow.
Yeah, they must not have thought he was going to do much.
So I was waiting for this past week to have even more proof for you that Lamar Jackson is not the NFL MVP.
Seriously.
Yep. So the question I have out there. How many people think Lamar Jackson should be the NFL MVP?
Okay. Let's go back to the applause we got.
That's pretty good. How many people out there are like me and think this is the NFL's sham thing to get him an award for no reason whatsoever? Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought. Yep. So I now have, okay, all right, settle down. All right, thank you. I agree with you.
Okay, stop.
And here's the proof that I was staying quiet about and waiting for. Lamar Jackson, nothing more than a system player at best. And the proof comes from what happened last weekend.
Okay.
The Ravens, in their final game of the season against the Steelers, they decided to rest their big-name players.
Correct.
That means we got to witness the RG3 experiment one more time. And what happened? The Ravens won the game. Not because of the offense, but because of what the defense has been doing all season long. I've been saying, the Ravens are not winning because of Lamar Jackson, that it's more of what the defense is doing. And look what happened. Griffin, 11 of 21 for 96 yards. He had 50 yards rushing, and they had one rushing touchdown and a bunch of field goals in a torrential rainstorm game.
Well, doesn't that help the defense, though, too? I mean, maybe the defense isn't that great.
I don't know.
Raining.
But I always thought in bad weather, it's more beneficial to the offense because they know what they're doing. And the defense is reacting. Right? I don't know.
I don't know.
The game was ugly, to say the least, and the team won without the guy who we are being led to believe has been single-handedly responsible for the Ravens' amazing record this season. And after this past weekend, I rest my case.
Do we want to talk?
Who agrees with me again? Who agrees with me? Thank you. Thank you. What? You want to talk about what?
No, I wanted to talk. Okay. You guys are just egging him on is what's pissing me off. We had a text discussion about who won the Packer game, and you said Aaron Rodgers, correct?
Oh, absolutely.
Right, not Mason Crosby.
Well, Mason Crosby kicked the game-winning field goal, but it was Aaron Rodgers that got him down there for the field goal.
But I think in the past, when Lamar Jackson put Baltimore in field goal range,
yep,
you didn't give him any credit for...
Well, I might have been wrong on that. It would have been Lamar Jackson getting him down there.
So
that does make him the MVP. So, I mean, because who had a game this weekend where one of the players did the spin move and scored a touchdown? Should we put him in the running for MVP?
Well, we should never be putting Aaron Rodgers in the running for MVP. Aaron's days are numbered at best.
I think, see, people are starting to, do I hear boos?
No, there's no boo, there's no boo button on there.
All right, let's move on. We'll just agree to disagree that I'm right.
Yeah, okay, there are a lot of definitely disagreeing.
There's a lot of head coaching jobs that have become available after last week's schedule.
Yeah.
Three in particular, including an opening again in Cleveland, an opening in Washington, and what people are expecting is going to be an opening in Dallas. But that hasn't happened quite yet.
And the surprising non-opening in Jacksonville, did I read that?
Yeah, they kept Doug Marrone.
Why?
The owner said, he goes, this is not the time for us right now to make a big change in what's going on.
So he didn't want to pay for a
I don't know if he doesn't want to pay for a big name, or because he kept both him and the GM.
Yeah. He
kept both of them.
That's shocking.
So the question I have for you is this. Rank the three job openings, best to worst, Cleveland, Washington, Dallas.
Cleveland, Washington, Dallas. Well, Dallas is the best one to go to.
You think so?
Oh, of course. I mean, they got a young quarterback.
Well, but and here's because I put Dallas at last. I mean, do you want to deal with where you're just a figurehead? I mean, you're not really the coach, other than you're standing on the sideline clapping and slapping guys on the ass because you don't really have any say in anything.
I can see your point in that, but you're also, if you take him to the Super Bowl,
yeah,
you basically punched your ticket to do whatever you want. I mean, you could be Jimmy Johnson, just leave, and you know Jimmy didn't go to another NFL team,
right?
Could
I mean, have. Because Jimmy Johnson left because he couldn't put up with Jerry Jones,
right?
And his constant meddling.
But people would beg to have Jimmy Johnson as their
they would,
right? So that's why I'm saying if you win in Dallas,
you're the man.
You're the man.
Yeah. I wonder if there's anybody that can actually win there though, and you know just be the guy that's going to be underneath the big boss.
But isn't that the same thing going on in Washington too? The owner.
No, yeah.
Does,
well, yeah, I mean, you have the same thing in Washington. You got Dan Snyder, who him and Jerry Jones are running these like they're
right.
Their own fantasy football team in real life, which well, it's their team.
Right,
they can
right.
do that if they want. But at least Dan Snyder kind of stays out of everything, the day to day.
But would you rather have Dak Prescott or would you rather have Dwayne Haskins?
I'd rather have Dak Prescott.
Okay.
No, I understand that they're, Dallas is loaded with talent.
Right, and they have to figure out they're gonna have to, there's probably gonna be some cuts where they because they're gonna be way over the cap.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if Sean Lee's gonna be one of the casualties.
Probably,
because you heard what he said about how he just loves Jason Garrett. And he's the man, and yeah. Jason Garrett keeps everybody in line. And
so, do you think
Jason Garrett should have been cut? Should have been fired a while ago,
right?
And I heard some talking heads talking about how Jerry Jones is stuck because he's treated Jason Garrett like family, and that what the Dallas needs to do is go outside the Dallas family,
right,
for the coach, because he feels like he can't fire Jason Garrett because he's treated him like family, and,
right?
He's kind of in love with him.
So you went Washington 1?
I went Cleveland 1.
Okay.
Because there's something there, and if you get the job, I mean, you actually have some say in what's going on.
The thing that I don't like about Cleveland that I bought into going into this year is I don't know any coach coming in is going to be able to get into Baker's head.
And yeah, Baker's a problem.
Baker's Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers of, you know, the end of their year, and he's only at year two, and or now be year three.
Somebody,
he thinks he runs the show.
Another talking head came up with the stats that compare Baker Mayfield to Gardner Minshew, and they're basically the same person, same size,
right.
Same walk-on in college, same, although Gardner wasn't a first-round draft pick, but, their stats are the same. Everything is practically the same. And, like, okay, so Baker Mayfield isn't anything special. The only thing that makes him different is he was the first overall player.
Right, and his head
but
is the size of...
But he's basically Gardner Minshew.
Yeah.
And Gardner knows how to talk on a microphone and be professional, where Baker doesn't have that yet.
Right, and he never had a coach who, you know, slapped him on his ass and said,
right.
Dude.
Yeah, grow up.
Grow up a little bit and listen to what I have to say.
Finally.
Okay.
Did you get to see this? Did you watch the San Francisco-Seattle game on
SN? I know I didn't. I missed it.
So there was a play at the end of the game.
Okay.
That was so clearly pass interference against Seattle. Helen Keller couldn't see it. I mean, but unfortunately for Seattle, it was with less than 2 minutes left in the game or in the fourth quarter, so they couldn't challenge it. But the bigger travesty comes when there wasn't even any call from New York to stop and look at the play.
That's what they're supposed to do.
They didn't even, in fact, Seattle was so sure that they were going to stop and look at the play that they actually got called for a delay of game, which moved them back even five more yards. So they ended up on their next play losing. I mean, the guy, since the goal line, the ball was right on the goal line.
Right.
And they didn't make it in, but, you know, that. In one way, that's karma. That's karma for Seattle for that bullshit call in the replacement ref game against Green Bay.
Do you think, I know these hypothetical questions are easy to answer, but
right.
If you had to do it all over again, would you just get rid of replay altogether?
No. and this is kind of where I'm going at. I mean, I think Roger Goodell has tarnished the whole replay system.
Right.
When he came out and said that it's not the league's desire to make sure calls are perfect. It's like, well, that should be your only desire. Otherwise, why have instant replay?
Exactly. That's why I would say just get rid of replay altogether and man up. I mean, as a fan, if your team got screwed like the Saints did last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they had to live with it, basically.
Right. But so I heard him say that. Granted, that was a month or so, 2 months ago. And then I'm watching the games this year, and all these calls that they're reviewing, even the ones that they reviewed, that they just let go.
Right.
Even though they were obvious to most people.
But see, that's my point. I'd like to know how many plays reviewed.
Oh, I should have gotten that.
I mean, but I just really, I really think replay, just let it go with what the refs see in the game speed that they have. Because do you realize games are going like 4 hours long?
Well, granted, a lot of that's because they're taking breaks at every single break in the game.
They are taking more breaks, but...
But college games don't last that long. In college games, they review every play. They can buzz down after every play.
To question,
right. Yeah, it's like, hey, that play's under review. And those games are done in less than 3 hours.
So it is all the commercials.
It's got to be the commercials. It's got to be all the other bullshit where...
All I know is I'm all for just getting rid of replay.
Because it's kind of like...
Because if you're not going to use replay the way it's supposed to be used, then what's the point of having it?
Right. I mean, it's kind of like the NBA. The NBA instituted coaches' challenges.
Right.
So... And I'm kind of like, it's making me sad because I feel like the NFL is turning into the NBA where the rules are called only certain ways for certain players.
Right.
Or certain teams. Because did you see what happened in the NBA with LeBron James?
No.
LeBron James makes a break for the, breakaway, and there's a guy between him and the basket. The defender kind of like turns. LeBron goes up, slams the ball, and he gets called. The defender gets called for a foul.
Or black.
Yeah. And the head coach just goes livid and uses his challenge on the play. And they showed the replay.
And it was clearly.
Never touched LeBron. He like moved out of the way. LeBron was never touched. And they upheld the call. Like, this is the NFL. These are the same guys.
Well, yeah, but that goes in the NFL too, though, with the guy you dislike. I mean, Cam Newton.
Yeah.
Should get more calls like Tom Brady
and
Aaron Rodgers get.
I am for that. If they want to make sure, then they need to make the rules more cut and dry. They can't have these obscure wordings where with the intentional grounding. All right, if you're out of the pocket,
right,
and you throw and with this obscure at or near the line of scrimmage. What the hell is that?
Right.
It's got to reach the line of scrimmage, not this near. But anyways, the NFL senior vice president of officiating, Big Al Riveron,
okay,
regarding the Seattle call, he goes that we actually looked at it here in New York. He said in a post game pool report, we had a great look. NBC gives us a great look of the entire route, so we actually did perform a review. But based on what we saw, we didn't see enough to stop the game, but we did review it. I don't know how you look at that. The guy's arms are wrapped around him.
Right.
He was in front of the receiver.
I wish I could see him.
Oh. After the show, I'll bring it up. But anyway, so Riveron made it clear that the play was reviewed, but not formally reviewed by stopping the game for both defense and offensive pass interference. And he continued, what we see is the offensive player come in and initiate contact on defensive player, blah, blah, blah. Nothing arises to the level of a foul, which significantly hinders the defender. We're not talking about hindering the defender. The defender was wrapped around the receiver.
Right, exactly.
On and on. But everything he talked about, it doesn't make sense to me because the stuff he talked about is, by definition, pass interference.
Right.
So basically, he did what Al Riveron does at every play this season. And when there was blatant pass interference, he just put in his lap. He basically says, abracadabra, nothing to see here, you know.
Right.
Just we'll let the play go. And
but it must not have been too bad.
Just remember that. Just remember that it couldn't have been too bad. And then we'll watch it.
Well, okay, but I'm just saying it couldn't have been too bad because I did kind of just take a break from football.
Yeah.
So I didn't see
it. Well, you had to replace a hot water heater.
Well, yeah. but I didn't see any of it.
Okay.
And quite honestly, I don't remember seeing the outcry of weeks after weeks after weeks after weeks of when the Saints felt like they got screwed.
Yeah.
Which...
I'm bringing it up on my phone right now.
Okay.
I know this isn't good for the audience out here, but are you guys okay with me getting this? Okay,
yeah, good. Okay.
We'll put it on the big screen. We'll put it on the big screen.
But I mean, it couldn't have been... It can't be that bad.
There you go. Push play and
all right.
And you tell me if it's not
but
that bad.
I mean, am I wrong, though, that there wasn't the outcry that there was?
No, there wasn't the outcry other than... Is it? Oh, can we legally play the sound? Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Blatant pass interference.
That
right?
was clearly pass interference.
I turned the sound off because I don't know if legally I'm allowed to play that.
Oh, sorry.
So, sorry, FCC. But that's it for news and notes. You have anything else you want to talk about?
No, I'm good.
All right, well, what we're going to do is we're going to put Jared to work. And
I'm by winning. I win here and I win there. Now what? I'm sorry, winning. I'll be over here, like, winning.
We're going to win so much. You may even get tired of winning.
That's right, everybody. It's time for the final episode of Beat the Host. This is where all our three winners get to pick their prizes. And normally, Dan would be on the microphone with us here, but I screwed up the whole schedule of the show today, and we have not yet even introduced our Fantasy Girl of the Year, who would normally be standing at the prize board. So Dan is getting dressed, and he's going to be standing by the prize board because, you know, well, our Fantasy Girl of the Year is still in hair and makeup and not ready. I didn't plan this very well. But on the phone with us, this was our season-long contest, Beat the Host, where some lucky listeners get a chance to pick a fantasy team and compete for the season. And the people with the highest score get to win prizes. And on the phone with us right now is our third-place winner, Brad Bundeson. Brad, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you, sir?
We're doing great. I forgot. I gotta do something else. See, way too much stuff going on here. On the phone with us is Brad Bundeson. How you doing, Brad?
I'm doing great. How are you, Dave?
Spectacular. I forgot to cue the audience there.
Ah, the applause.
Yeah, well, you're a very popular guy in third place. So, you had the unfortunate were you on twice or three times vulturing players?
I think twice.
Twice, and obviously, your work worked because you finished in third place. And as we said at the beginning, there's prizes for the top three winners that don't include myself and Dan. So you actually finished in fourth behind Dan. But Dan doesn't get a prize, so that moves you up to third.
Right, that was pretty amazing to me, actually, that I ended up that high, especially with how I got screwed at the beginning.
Were you with your Christian McCaffrey? No, you had Ezekiel when he decided he was going to play around in Mexico.
Right, and you said you weren't sure about him playing, so I took him anyway.
Yeah, yes.
against your advice.
Yeah, and, well, there you go. But you know... Right, but then you might have been in the same position I was, where I had players who were middle of the road that I thought would do well, and then Kerryon Johnson goes and busts his knee up again. And then I was just always good enough to never be bad enough to get rid of that fucking doorstop.
That's what happens when you draft Lions.
Yeah, now I know. Because I had him and I had T.J. Hockenson, who I was never able to dump all season long. But that's beyond the point. So what we have for prizes, there are. So you're going to win $50 worth of food gift cards, all right? So we have second place is going to get $75 worth, and first place gets $100 worth. And they're all $25 gift cards. And they are randomly, you're going to randomly select, and you get the chance to get two out of the whole caboodle. So what you're going to do is you're going to randomly draw a number between 1 and 9, and I will tell you which card you won.
Okay. Right now I will take number 4.
1, 2, 3, 4. Your first one is a $25 gift card to the Cheesecake Factory, where you can use up your day's worth of calories on just a half a slice of cheesecake.
And yes, they actually do have those here in Ohio. That's good.
Excellent. And then you get one more pick, so a number between 1 and 9 that doesn't include 4.
How about
7? I know they have these in Ohio, too, because they're everywhere. Your second one is a $25 gift card to Burger King, my favorite fast food restaurant, next to, well, a couple others, but what are you going to do? So there you go. $25 to the Cheesecake Factory and $25 to Burger King. You can take the wife to Cheesecake Factory, and then you can do Burger King at lunch someday.
That's exactly it. You are on.
So thank you for participating. We're going to, like we said at the beginning of the podcast today, which you'll be hearing later on, we're going to be changing up all the contests. We're going to have two listener contests next year. One is actually going to cost the listeners some money because it's going to be a guillotine league where you get to win up to 17 bottles of nice priced liquor if you want to be in on that. Otherwise, we're going to have another rendition of Beat the Host in some sort of fashion. So.
I gotcha. I'll be listening to the podcast as usual.
All right. Well, thank you for playing, and good luck again next year, and we'll talk to you again.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So with Brad getting his prizes, it's now time for our second place winner. And in second place this year in Beat the Host, it is, and actually we may have to change the rules for this next year because if Dan and I can't win prizes, the executive producer shouldn't be allowed to win prizes. But second place this year, everybody, it's Wayne Beckus. So on the phone with us is Wayne. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Excellent. So now Brad was actually on, and he got a chance to vulture, and I know you did too because you got screwed one time.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the season. You had been in the lead practically all season long, and then towards the end, you got robbed and had a chance to make your comeback, and the best you could do was claw back up to second place.
I did what I could do.
Well, it's second place isn't bad. I mean, I'm used to second place, but, some of us like better things. So,
second place, first loser.
in most instances, yes. So as I told Brad, you can look over to your right, and you'll see Dan in his dress because I screwed up on the schedule. We actually did the calls to the winners prior to announcing the Fantasy Girl of the Year. So at this point, she's in hair and makeup, and we don't have anybody to stand by the prize board. So so Dan's over there, and enjoy that for a little bit, okay?
Yeah, I will.
So one more time, as prizes this year, we have first place gets $100 worth of food gift cards, second place gets $75 worth of food gift cards, and third place gets $50 worth of food gift cards. And as the second place winner, there are now 7 cards left, and they're all randomly up there. And what you're going to do is you're going to give me a number between 1 and 7, and then you'll get that card. And we'll do it again until you have $75 worth. Deal?
All right. Good deal.
I need a number between 1 and 7.
Going with lucky 7.
Lucky 7, Dan opens the envelope, and it is $25 to Red Robin.
All right.
I know they have those wherever you're driving around.
Yeah, there's actually one where I stop, we're on stop right now.
All right, perfect. As they say, Red Robin, yum. All right, now I need a number between 1 and 7 that doesn't include 7.
Okay. Let's go with 1.
1. Your next one is a $25 gift card to Chick-fil-A.
Oh, there you go.
I know those are all over the place, too.
Yeah, I just can't go there on Sunday.
Well, there you go. And I need a number between 1 and 7 that doesn't include 1 or 7.
I finished second, so let's go with 2.
Number 2, a $25 gift card to the Olive Garden.
There you go.
Where
all the breadsticks I can eat.
Hospa Italiana, where you're like family or something like that. The never-ending pasta bowl.
There you go.
Well, thank you for playing along this year. I appreciate it. Hope you had fun. And we are working on 2 new games for next year's Beat the Host. There's going to be a Beat the Host where we're going to change the rules up a little bit. And then, like I was telling Brad, there's likely to be a podcast fan guillotine league where somebody's going to win. This is the one that's going to cost the listeners some money because they're going to have to buy a bottle of liquor. And then the winner's going to get all the liquor at the end. I think that's legal, right?
Oh, there
right?
you go. All right.
As long as you're 21 or over, that's legal, right?
I'm barely 21, but I can make it.
So I hope you have a good new year. And I think that's it.
Fantastic. Thank you, guys. Had a great year.
All right.
Looking forward to next year.
All right. Sounds good. Keep the rubber side down, as they say.
That I will.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Which leaves us with our champion for Beat the Host for 2019. And on the phone with us right now, it's our first place winner. It's Dan Herzberg. Dan Herzberg, everybody. How you doing, Dan?
I'm doing great. Happy New Year to everyone this morning.
Well, the crowd is a little raucous for you. You came into this season. I don't know if you started the season with a plan, but when you were in last place one week, you said, I have a plan, and we're going to go with this plan. And I was leery of that plan. You want to remind everybody what your plan was?
Yeah. Well, of course, when everyone starts the season, they start with great intentions of taking the mantle from the draft. But stuff happens. I drafted, I believe my original draft was Jameis Winston, Kamara. I'm forgetting who I had it. Wide receiver Smith-Schuster, I think it was. Ertz in Minnesota. And as we know, people get injured and hurt. So when that happened, I hit last. I saw that when Drew Brees got injured, he was on waivers. And the best wide receiver in the game was able to get to be had in Michael Thomas. So I went all Saints. Because
he wasn't part of the first place team that week.
Exactly. So, he wasn't part of the first place team. And so he was available. So knowing that the past Saints, they have been explosive on offense, and as soon as Brees came back from the fold, things took off, and I never looked back. So it was a boom or bust option. I had plans B and C set up if I had failed at that, but plan A did work.
And the thing that really helped you out was Winston didn't start the season the way he ended. I mean, he was doing okay. But he wasn't
Correct.
Just tearing up the league with touchdowns and
right.
and passing yards. So your plan worked.
Yep, it did, thank God. I mean, Winston, on paper, starting the season with Arian's system, looked like a great match. But slow start and the injuries led to the All Saints team, almost the All Saints team.
Well, As we were explaining to the other guys, the prizes are here. Third place received $50 worth of food gift cards. Second place got $75 worth of food gift cards, and they got to randomly select their cards from the prize board. Dan is no longer standing at the prize board. He had to go and change out now that the fantasy girl is done with hair and makeup, and we'll have her out after this phone call. But he was standing by the prize board to let everybody know what everybody was winning. So you just get the last four cards. You don't actually get to pick them.
Good deal.
So the four cards you get, you have a $25 gift card to Jimmy John's.
Awesome.
You have a $25 gift card to Chipotle. You have
Very
a
nice.
$25 gift card to Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh, and
wow. You have a $25 gift card to P.F. Chang's.
Oh, so, wow.
A little bit of every genre of food, I guess, right?
What a way to start the new year, Dave.
You can take the family out for a meal or two.
Exactly. The kids will be excited.
So congratulations on winning. And then we'll be back in touch with you next year when we revamp the whole Beat the Host thing again.
Absolutely. Looking forward to season two.
All right.
The challenge.
Well, thank you for playing along, and hope you have a good new year, and we'll talk to you again.
Thank you, Dave. Podcast is awesome. Keep up the great work. Happy New Year to all the great listeners out there.
Thank you very much. Have a good one.
All right.
Bye.
Take easy. Bye.
All right. So congratulations to our Beat the Host winners, and I'm glad to see you're back. You got your new outfit on.
I feel more comfortable right now, too.
Yeah, better than in that dress.
Yes.
So you ready to meet our trophy girl for the show?
That's right. I am
ready. Everybody's ready? Yes. Now, I didn't fill you in on who the winner was going to be.
Yeah, because I feel kind of cheated.
You do?
Yeah. Do I? Can I just ask fans?
Sure, sure.
Would I cheat? Would I look ahead?
I don't know if that's a yes or no.
Well, how long are they? Okay, I'm not a cheater, though.
Okay, oh, you're not?
No,
okay.
No.
All right, so you wouldn't have looked ahead if I would have told
no,
you?
No, oh, God, no. I take pride in my work.
Well, let's get our Fantasy Girl of the Year, who's going to take the job as our trophy girl for the rest of the evening. Here we go, everybody. I don't think you would have cheated.
Maybe? Come on. I've never cheated. I'm not the Patriots.
The nominees for Fantasy Girl of the Year are Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Issue Model, Chanel Stewart.
See, I don't even get
American
a chance to
American fashion influencer, former beauty pageant title holder and actress, Olivia Culpo. Fashion model and daughter of MLB home run hitter Jose Canseco, Josie Canseco. Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue model from Russia, Vita Sidorkina. And the winner is...
That's right. You have the envelopes?
Yep, I'm ready here, Hal.
Okay, so... I know who this is. You don't, because I didn't fill you in.
Right.
I apologize for thinking you would cheat.
Yeah, like, I'm the big cheater.
But
so.
I'm glad you didn't check out the dressing room ahead of time.
Okay. Yep.
But with the envelope... Dan, you want to open that up?
Yep, let's do it.
Perfect. Hands me the card. The winner for Fantasy Girl of the Year and our trophy girl, Josie Canseco. Yes. Everybody is excited. Josie. Okay, you're looking at her and everything?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, okay. I want you to study while I reread her bio. All right.
Okay.
She was born November 5th, 1996 in Weston, Florida. She's the only child of former baseball slugger Jose Canseco and her mother Jessica, a former Playboy playmate. And she was featured as Miss September 2005. Josie was.
Okay.
Josie is following in her mother. Oh, wait, no. Her mother was. Sorry, Josie, I'm wrecking this. Josie's mother was Miss September 2005.
Okay.
Josie is following in her mother's footsteps and is one of the fastest rising models who also appeared as Miss June 2016 in Playboy. I believe that was the year when Playboy wasn't doing nudity.
Okay.
Josie was also in the Victoria's Secret fashion show where she was one of the Victoria's Secret pink girls. So she did that also in her resume. When not modeling, she could be found in a dance studio where she is professionally trained in classical and hip-hop styles of dance. She is also proficient in sports, including baseball, soccer, track and field, and gymnastics. She is an advocate for the humane treatment of animals. She volunteers at a pet welfare organization specializing in finding families and homes for abandoned animals.
Wouldn't you want to be one of those pets?
Yeah, lucky, lucky dogs. Josie Marie Canseco stands 5 foot, 5 inches tall. She weighs 119 pounds. She has blonde hair, blue eyes. She wears a size 2 dress, as you can see.
As I can see.
Her measurements are... And I mean, we got to warn her again. Don't be offended if Dan gets this a little wrong.
Well, no. Could I...
Want a different picture?
Please.
I mean, not a different picture?
Well, no, I just...
Want her to spin around?
No, I don't want to... I don't want to gawk. Okay, I'm ready.
You ready?
Yep.
All right, go for it.
Okay. Oh. 33 A cup.
Close enough. 32. I don't know what the cup size is. Sorry.
You don't know what her cup
is? No. Want to ask her? Or is that...
No, that's... A little
forward.
A little forward.
All right.
Okay.
Waist.
I'm going to go... Who? Oh, I can't say what I'm thinking. I'm going to go 23.
Boy, everyone...
Well, that's correct.
Is it?
Well, no, you said 23?
Yeah.
Exactly correct.
Okay.
And her hips.
Okay. How much did she weigh?
Weighs 119. Okay. She might have had some of the food in the...
Can I get a...
In the waiting room?
A different... Because I don't like looking at her because I feel dirty. You have, like, one where you show a little... I can't see the backside... Yeah.
The butte?
Yeah.
Josie, spin around.
No, I'm not going to ask her to do that. Okay. Because that would just be wrong. We can talk.
She doesn't mind.
We can talk later. Okay. I like 35.
That's close enough. 34. Josie Marie Canseco, our Fantasy Girl of the Year and Trophy Girl. She will be bringing the trophies out for all our winners coming up.
That's right.
32, 23, 34. Exciting. Everybody loves our fantasy girl, and can you blame them? And now we move on. It's time for the bets.
Okay, stop clapping.
Okay. But my bets are going to be so great.
Yes, here we go.
So, as you know, Dan didn't make any bets, as he mentioned. He's trying to stay ahead.
I'm going to wait
for the Super Bowl and maybe the divisional and conference championships.
I didn't like any of the...
Maybe this will change his mind.
I didn't even like doing money. I wouldn't even have done a money line parlay.
No.
I mean,
if you would have used Dan's picks last week.
Right.
Or 2 weeks ago, because we didn't do a show last week.
Right.
He went 4-2. And in that 4-2, he had another parlay win.
That's right.
He had another... People, did you hear me? He had another parlay win. Yes. It wasn't a huge one.
Right.
It was your money line parlay, which your $5 bet got you $36.80, which, it's enough to shake a stick at.
You're still ahead.
Exactly. So for the season so far, you're at 52%.
I know the percent isn't
as important as the
important
money.
As the fact that I am
well ahead.
Well ahead.
$450 or so ahead, maybe more.
And I think I want to bring up the bad subject of
I'm at 54%. Last week I went 8-8. Although I still have two of my games from last week's that are playing probably right now.
Right, but you're spending more than you're winning.
Yes, I'm like $300 behind what I've spent.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
LSU, baby.
That'll change everything.
LSU. And So yeah, I was 8-8. I almost had a parlay, but that did not work out. I am amazed. You have 3 parlay wins this year. But I did. Did I tell you that I have 3 actual tickets that I have downstairs in an envelope that I'm mailing out to Vegas tomorrow? I have Green Bay Packers winning the division.
Right.
Kansas City winning the division. And I have Derrick Henry
winning
the rushing title for this year, which those 3 tickets get me like $125, and it cost me $15.
And how many rushing title people did you choose?
Just him.
Just him?
Yeah, I had him, and I had Aaron Rodgers as passing champion.
Yeah. You should ask me about that one. Well, I got told.
I would have never said Jameis Winston, I guess.
Well, Winston wasn't.
Winston would have been
the yardage?
An amazing payoff for passing.
Oh, but it was yardage or?
It was passing yards.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I might have actually threw some money down on that one.
Would you put Winston down?
If I would,
I would love to have known what that payoff was. I wish I would have kept that paperwork.
See, that one year he was like. He was 2 or 3 in second or third place. I mean, do I want him as my quarterback? No.
No. Well, I mean, Bruce Arians is even losing faith in him now, too.
Yeah, what?
That changed.
Why did all
of a sudden? You were, like, backing him up on every interception he was throwing, saying it wasn't his fault.
Right.
And all of a sudden, anybody could do that job.
Yeah.
Maybe they want Phillip Rivers.
Or are they trying to say that we're thinking about taking somebody in the draft, but we don't want to play our hand? Or?
Yeah, maybe. So it's time for the bets. You can find my bets on the website right now. It's all uploaded. MyCFFL.com. We never said that at the beginning of the show, by the way.
Oh.
It's an award show.
Yeah.
MyCFFL.com. Go on there. Check out the bets. I put bets on all the playoff games in the NFL today.
Okay.
So first one, we're going to start with Buffalo +3 versus Houston. Houston had a tough time against a Tennessee team that they should have been able to handle even without their starting quarterback playing in the game. I really like Buffalo's defense to hold Houston's offense in check. The weather should also help slow down the Houston pass-heavy offense.
Right.
I'm taking Buffalo +3
Ooh.
In this game.
See, and I'm thinking totally opposite.
Really?
Yeah.
I think Buffalo's going to win that game all right.
No? It wouldn't shock. It wouldn't see. The thing is, I don't have nothing to argue with it because I really don't think it.
You aren't thinking that.
I think it, every game could go. You wouldn't. Yeah, wouldn't. I could see anybody winning any game.
All right, the next game, Tennessee +5 versus New England. I think it's safe to say the New England dynasty has come to an end. Right. When you have this supposed GOAT saying he is to blame for not beating the lowly Miami Dolphins, that isn't good. The truth is, it wasn't even all Brady's fault. Sure, he threw the unbelievable pick 6 that looked like it was coming from Jameis Winston, but even with that, Patriots were still in the game and they still quit from that point on. Tennessee's defense much tougher than Miami's, and the Tennessee offense is clicking big time with, of all people, Ryan Tannehill at the helm. I like Tennessee to win this game outright. I'm taking Tennessee +5
Okay, so Tennessee beat New England earlier this year?
Did they? I don't know.
Somebody told me that Tennessee had beat.
Maybe.
I'm coming out of retirement.
Okay.
I'm putting $20 down on the Patriots to win this game.
You're putting $20. So now I got to redo the website. $20 Patriots.
Just
to win?
Just to win.
Okay. I will get that up there for you.
Or what's the point spread?
It's 5.
In New England.
In New England. The late game on Saturday.
So I'll make more money if I do
You'll make
the
more
point
money
spread.
Doing the point spread.
I'll put 20 on the point spread.
20 New England -5 All right, we'll put that down for you. You're going to be back down to normal. The next game, New Orleans -8 versus Minnesota. Even as a diehard Packer fan, I'm willing to say the Saints are likely the best team in the NFC right now.
Right.
They shouldn't have a problem taking care of business against a floundering Minnesota team, even though the NFL did everything they could to give Kirk Cousins every chance possible by putting this game at noon
right.
instead of the dreaded primetime slot when this is clearly the best game of the weekend, right?
Right.
I'm still taking the Saints. Let's see how good those Saints are in zero-degree weather next week in Green Bay.
Okay.
And the Packers crush them. And finally, Seattle -2.5 versus Philadelphia.
Ooh.
Philadelphia tried to do everything they could and had to do everything they could last week in order to even get into playoffs.
Right.
And I'm thinking they blew their load against the horrible Giants team last week.
So you're picking Seattle here.
I am. I don't buy their chances at all, especially against a Seattle team that now knows what it's like to be jobbed by the refs on two occasions in one game. Karma's a bitch. Give me the Seahawks.
Oh.
No, you don't like any of those?
I do. Seattle did not play well with Marshawn Lynch as their running back.
Nope. Well, they're trying out another 65 of them.
You need a running game in the NFL.
New England Patriots money line is -220.
So
that's
where am I making more money on?
Well, you're making more money on the point spread.
Yeah, on
-105.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. And now for the college games. I have all the rest of the college games that I'm going with. Not really all of them, but most of them. We'll start with Georgia and Baylor, the Sugar Bowl. Baylor gave it all in their attempts to beat Oklahoma to try and get into college football playoffs this year. In that fight, they lost twice to Oklahoma, and those two losses also cost Baylor their starting quarterback and their backup quarterback, leaving them with a third stringer to play this game, even though they're saying that their normal guy might be back, but right. I'm not buying it. Georgia is healthy, and they have a tough defense, allowing just one rushing touchdown in 371 attempts this season. Give me the Bulldogs. I'm laying the 5.5.
Okay.
You don't agree?
I
don't know.
Or care.
Boston College +7.5 versus Cincinnati, the Birmingham Bowl. I'm actually thinking the Eagles of Boston College are going to pull off the outright upset in this game. I don't see Cincinnati really wanting this game as they lost back-to-back games against Memphis to close out their season. Boston College +7.5. Tennessee -2.5 against Indiana in the Gator Bowl. I don't see the Hoosiers moving the ball very well against Tennessee defense. It's not been very good for Indiana when they face some of the tougher pass defenses in the Big Ten. Ohio State held them to 10 points. Michigan held them to 14. Tennessee has been playing very good at the end of the season, and they're going to be physical on offense.
Tennessee sucked at the beginning of the year, though, right?
They did, and they got better at the end.
Okay.
So I'm taking Tennessee and laying the points.
Against Indiana?
Yep.
Yeah, I would never take Indiana.
We go to the Potato Bowl in Boise, Idaho. Ohio Bobcats and Nevada Wolfpack. Bobcats averaged
Tell me what you know about these two teams.
Huh? Bobcats averaged over 34 points per game this year, and that high-powered offense should be a main weapon in the Potato Bowl when they face off against a Wolfpack defense of Reno that has given up over 32 points per game. I'm taking Ohio, and I'm laying the 8 points.
Wow.
Making money. Southern Mississippi, Brett Favre's alma mater.
There we go.
+7 versus Tulane in the Armed Forces Bowl. Green Wave lost their last three games in a row, and I'm hoping this isn't some sort of trap game coming out of Vegas, but Tulane's defense played horribly down the stretch of their season, allowing over 35 points a game over their last six games. Tulane's strength, which is their ground game, is going to be held in check by Southern Miss. Their defense ranks 18th in the nation against the run. There's another game like Boston College where I think the underdog is going to win this game outright. I'm taking Southern Miss. Two more games. Louisiana Lafayette.
What do you know?
The Raging Cajuns.
Okay.
-14 against Miami of Ohio in the Alabama Bowl. Number doesn't look as big as you think once you take a look at the matchups. Louisiana Lafayette plays their season in a much tougher conference and won 10 games this year. They also average 200 yards per game more than Miami of Ohio, and they're allowing fewer yards per game on defense. I'm taking Louisiana Lafayette Raging Cajuns -14.
What are you going to do when you can actually gamble in Wisconsin?
Oh, okay. And finally, the national championship game, LSU versus Clemson.
Okay.
LSU -6.5. I'm not buying the Clemson hype in this game whatsoever. They played in the ACC, for Christ's sake. LSU plays in a tough SEC, and they blew out tougher teams, and Clemson is beaten this year. Joe Burrow has proven to actually be as good as he looks, and he is, what, guaranteed himself the number one overall pick in the NFL draft?
I would say probably. Yep.
The Tigers of LSU are here for business, and it shows. LSU has this game handled easily, much the same way they did when they scored 7 touchdowns in the first half against Oklahoma last week. So I'm taking LSU minus the 6.5, mainly because I get a lot of money if they win.
You've done well this year on your gambling year.
You don't know how many tickets I ran through the shredder.
But you won the 2 suit.
Suicide. Oh yeah, you're talking the.
I'm just saying overall.
I was talking my Vegas.
You've
ones.
Had a fairly what?
Well, we're all right.
Yeah,
we're okay. So on top of that, I'm also doing a money line parlay on all the teams that I picked.
But if you picked LSU, you're not. Please don't tell me you've bet over $250
in Vegas.
In Vegas.
Oh, they're all $5 bets. I don't know. There were a lot of baseball ones. There were a lot of.
And you never hit on any of those.
The baseball ones I didn't hit on. No.
Vegas, though, I feel like you're still going to be ahead. I mean, with Derrick Henry and the possibility of an LSU.
So that's it for the bets. Remember, everybody out there, don't bet anymore. You can afford to lose, and it's only gambling if you don't know what you're doing. And right now it's time for the awards, the part that everybody's been waiting for. You ready for this, people?
Let's do it.
We're going to start with the receiver of the year.
So why are we not starting with the quarterback of the year?
The nominees for receiver of the year are Chris Godwin, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Godwin racked up over 300 fantasy points in the CFFL while catching passes for more than 1,200 yards. Michael Thomas, New Orleans Saints. Thomas was the top scoring receiver in the CFFL with over 300 fantasy points while hauling in catches for over 1,500 yards. DeAndre Hopkins, Houston Texans. Hopkins scored over 250 fantasy points in the CFFL and amassed over 1,100 yards receiving. And the winner is...
Thank you, Jared. Who do we have for a winner? You going to open up the envelope?
Yep, ready?
Yes. Very good. The winner for best receiver of the year, Michael Thomas.
I think that was a pretty easy one.
Yeah, this wasn't really even in question. Thomas destroyed the record for receptions in a season and came within only 239 yards of breaking Calvin Johnson's yardage record. He was clear all-star receiver this year, a year in which he averaged almost 9.5 receptions per game, even when everyone knew the ball was going to him no matter what.
Right.
It didn't matter. He could not be stopped. You want to know how reliable Thomas was this season? Out of 149 receptions he had this season during double coverage and extra attention, he only dropped 37 of those targets for the year. That means he caught 80% of the passes thrown to him. Congratulations, Michael Thomas.
He didn't do bad even when Teddy Bridgewater was the quarterback, right?
No, he did all right. So, I mean, we had Josie come out here with the trophy, but, you know, that's only just look at her.
Right.
Michael Thomas was not able to make it to receive his award.
I have no idea why he didn't.
Something to do with getting ready for the playoffs or something. Which brings us to the next award, the running back of the year.
The nominees for running back of the year are Lamar Jackson, Baltimore Ravens.
That's for
Lamar weird. Rushed for over 1,100 yards while also lining up as the team's QB. Jackson scored over 710 points in the CFFL. Christian McCaffrey, Carolina Panthers. While putting up over 400 fantasy points in the CFFL, McCaffrey ran for more than 1,300 yards this season. Dalvin Cook, Minnesota Vikings. Dalvin scored well over 310 points in the CFFL and rushed for over 1,200 yards. And the winner is...
I can't believe you put Jared through that. Why? Just to poke fun at Wayne.
Wayne. Yeah, well, I mean, he deserves it.
There was, I mean, you could have even had Derrick Henry, you know, like in...
I know, but then I couldn't have Lamar.
Oh, okay.
I mean, Lamar.
I just can't believe you made
Derek may have the rushing record, but Lamar, I mean, he did a spin move on Cincinnati. And he threw the ball. Did Derek ever throw the ball?
Do you really think it was fair to put Jared in that spot? I mean,
Jared had no clue.
Yeah, okay.
Love you, Jared.
All right, let's see what we got here. Here you go.
The running back of the year, Christian McCaffrey.
Another no-brainer, right?
Well, you had to. You got to know you're really good when the NFL just invents some sort of record for you to break. McCaffrey broke the combined yardage record, which I didn't even know was a thing.
Right.
Granted, this was a collection of, well, not really good defensive teams, but he did break the record. McCaffrey averaged 87 yards rushing a game and 63 yards receiving per game. With the team's other running back, Cam Newton, out for the season, McCaffrey was arguably the team's only real offensive weapon this season, and it showed in his stats. Congratulations, Christian McCaffrey. He was not able to make it this evening and collect his award.
Joseph, just bring him here.
We'll FedEx it to him. All right. Next up, the one that you thought we should have started with.
Well, I just don't know why we all start with the quarterback.
Yeah, but we got to go from least important to most.
Whenever Aaron Rodgers is in this list.
Well, he always wins the MVP.
Oh, okay.
Is that foreshadowing?
I hope not.
It's time, everybody, for quarterback of the year.
Come on, Jared.
The nominees for running back of the year are...
Oh, Jared, Lamar stop. Jared, stop. Where's my boo? Time for quarterback of the year, Jared. Get the right card.
Or the right button.
The nominees for quarterback of the year are Deshaun Watson, Houston Texans. Watson accounted for 664 points in the CFFL while throwing the ball for over 3,400 yards. Dak Prescott, Dallas Cowboys. Dak amassed over 711 points in the CFFL while throwing for over 4,100 yards. And Jameis Winston, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Winston scored over 700 fantasy points in the CFFL while completing passes for over 4,100 yards despite throwing 23-plus interceptions. And the winner is...
That had to kill you to put Jameis Winston in this.
Well, it'd kill me to put all of them except Aaron Rodgers in there. You got to open the envelope?
Yeah, hold on. Oh, this is a tricky one. Uh-oh, there we go.
And ladies and gentlemen, your quarterback of the year is... Jameis Winston.
Wow. Wow.
This was a tough decision, especially for me.
Oh,
I actually,
you had a vote, right?
But you made the choice. I was going to leave this one alone.
Well, yeah, you're biased. Yeah.
Despite the plethora of interceptions by Winston, you just had to give him this award. It was a clear 200-plus yards ahead of second place for passing, and almost 2,000 yards ahead of the media darling at quarterback Lamar Jackson. Winston finished the year with 33 touchdowns plus all the touchdowns he threw to the other team, which don't even count. He averaged 320 yards passing per game, which is unbelievable. Can you just imagine how impressive he would have been if he could have just taken care of the ball a little more? Maybe you're talking about him as MVP.
I mean, cut those in half, and that's still, I mean, that's still a lot of interceptions.
Yeah, but it's amazing.
Wow.
Congratulations, Jameis. Jameis, he's also not here to accept the award.
He was headed
to the supermarket for some seafood.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that joke's not getting any better.
And now we move into the two big ones. It's time for the Rookie of the Year.
Your nominees for Rookie of the Year are quarterback Kyler Murray, Arizona Cardinals. Kyler joined the Cardinals after being drafted number one overall out of Oklahoma. Murray had an up-and-down year, scoring over 600 fantasy points in the CFFL. Quarterback Daniel Jones, New York Giants. Jones was the target of a lot of criticism when he was drafted in the top 10 by the Giants out of Kentucky. Jones silenced those critics after replacing Eli Manning in the third game of the season and putting up just under 450 points in that shortened season. Running back Josh Jacobs, Oakland Raiders. Josh scored over 650 fantasy points in the CFFL and was the leading rusher for all rookie running backs in 2019. And the winner is...
I got my fingers crossed.
Well, who are you hoping for?
Oh, the running back. Okay. The quarterbacks were good.
But not good enough.
Well, no, they weren't. Josh Jacobs, I feel like he was actually up there in the leaderboard with running backs. Where I don't know where Kyler and Daniel Jones... Well, I know Daniel...
Kyler was nowhere to be found. He was...
Not even top 20?
I don't think so. Well... Maybe he was ahead of Lamar Jackson
in
for passing yards. Oh, you mean in fantasy scoring?
Well, isn't this what this is?
Yes, okay. It is.
So, yeah. All right, let's just get to it
here. All right, here we go. Rookie of the year.
Okay. That was a quick one.
Yeah. Whew. Rip that Band-Aid off.
That's right.
Your running back of the year is, well, you got it right, Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs. Everybody, Josh Jacobs.
Josh Jacobs.
Thank you.
Yes,
thank you.
Yes.
He led all rookie running backs in rushing this year, and
Can somebody start clapping a little bit faster just to change it up a little?
I didn't have enough button space on the... And that was with him missing three games with injuries. Jacobs averaged 88 yards per game on a team that had Jekyll and Hyde-type season. When healthy, Jacobs was a team workhorse in the backfield. He has big-time promise for the future. Josh Jacobs was not able to make it for this award, but... I understand they're in Vegas now, so we can handle it this one time.
Oh, that's right.
Want to do that?
Yep.
And finally, everyone, the moment you've been waiting for. It's time for our MVP.
Finally, no Aaron Rodgers. Thank God.
Your nominees for Most Valuable Player are Dak Prescott, Dallas Cowboys. Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, my God. You're kidding me. What?
Russell Wilson, Seattle Seahawks. Michael Thomas, New Orleans Saints. And the winner is...
We actually had to do a recount on this.
Oh, my God.
Because our winner is not even amongst the nominees. Yeah.
All right.
So,
are you sure?
Positive. I just noticed that when
Did you look through the envelope or something?
Well,
or?
No, but I just I know things.
Oh,
and
you sucked the air.
I heard him go through the nominees and
okay. Well, let's see.
Part of being the owner of this whole show, we can do whatever the fuck we want. The winner is,
here you go,
Christian McCaffrey.
How the hell? We are a write-in candidate.
Like how Hillary Clinton thought she was going to win the presidency. Christian McCaffrey, everybody, your MVP. I am so not ready for this that... Wrong button. I'm so not ready for this that we're all effed up. I don't even have stats for Christian McCaffrey.
There we go. We got a little... See it.
Which means the show's going to end early. Are you cool with Christian McCaffrey winning it?
I think... I mean... For fantasy football reasons, he definitely was the most valuable.
Yeah, it was close between him and Michael Thomas.
They both were pretty consistent, but
yes,
for the positions,
we would have went with the nominees. It would have probably been Michael Thomas, but this is what happens when I let you make picks.
Well, see, I thought. Okay,
oh,
yeah.
Shit, Christian McCaffrey. Our unknown MVP of fantasy football, and that just explains to you how the whole season worked, everybody.
That's right.
We hope you have a great New Year's. At the end of the show, remember, check out the website, mycffl.com. We didn't talk about this at the beginning because, well, we forgot. Remember, you can also email us, everybody. Sit down. We're not done quite yet. You don't have to leave right now. Yeah. Sit down.
The freeway's right over there.
Exactly. You'll
get off.
Email us questions on your way home, like, how did this happen? I didn't hear this part.
How did Christian McCaffrey get the MVP?
He wasn't even nominated. You can email us by writing to cffpodcast@hotmail.com, or you can get Dan by writing to...
Strap 1971 at yahoo.com.
And don't forget the fan line, 414-520-8249. Leave a message, leave a text. We'll play them and read them on the air. Let us know how you like the award show. That's pretty much it for the year. This is it.
That's it.
We got more betting coming up maybe on the next show.
I'll try to bet, but
yeah, I might just do a short little thing because, yeah. I mean, there's really not going to be much to talk about other than gambling. Right?
Yeah, I'd stick with the Patriots, though.
That's right. Your only pick, $20 on the Patriots.
I will be shocked, absolutely shocked, if the Patriots lose this game.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, because you'll be down 20 bucks.
Yeah. But I'll still be ahead of you.
True. That is true. Unless all my parlays come in this week.
True.
Yeah. That ain't going to happen. Well, thank you, everybody, for Thank you for stopping in. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll see you again in the next year. Thank you for joining us. Be good.
Bye-bye.